many of you believe that freedom will be gone sometime in the next, oh, I don't know, 5 to 10 years? Honestly, our chances are the same as a snowball in a waffle iron.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I hate to sound so pessimistic, but it's kind of hard to be encouraged when you look at a lot of the news stories that swirl around us each and every day. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Well, I wanted to share a few stories today, look back over some events that you probably have heard about, maybe you didn't, and I just want to put a few things into perspective and begin a process that we will continue for the remainder of this week in understanding where we are as a people and what are the chances of redeeming ourselves, so to speak. And I really believe at the moment we are a condemned people waiting to, in essence, meet our doom. I look at the United States where I live. I look at my neighbor to the north, Canada, and what you've been experiencing over the past half a century. The same in other parts of the world. And then you look at states like California here in the United States, and how low can you go? How sick do you have to be until the sin of this nation, the sin of this world, cries out to an almighty God for him to act? And like I say, I really believe that that day is approaching quicker than most of us would like to believe. And if you look at many of the leaders we have in the world today, and look at some of the talking heads that make comments, and we're supposed to learn from their wisdom on television, radio, podcast, movies, whatever kind of media. I just don't know how we're going to make it much longer. And most disturbing to me is how impotent much of those who call themselves Christians or the church have been unengaged in the things that matter in the world around us. You allow things to happen. You just, well, let's just get along. Well, it doesn't really affect me today. But honestly, it does. I was thinking the other day how much has changed in the last 10 years, the last 20 years, the last 30 years. I can remember a time of educational standards that were imposed on students like myself. And there was some slight variations around the country, but in essence, you needed at least 65 to 70% to pass something. Today, you'll find in some states like California and others, you can get as much as 60 or 70% wrong and still pass. You could do that just on a multiple choice test just by guessing. We have lowered the standard. To give you an example, and I'm sure a lot of you saw this news story that came out a couple of days ago. The television program, The View, which I call The Spew, is inhabited by some of the creepiest, weirdest, stupidest people on the planet Earth. And they are held up as some kind of intellectual brood to give us wisdom. Now, one of the people on The View made a couple of really silly statements. Asuncion Cummings Holston, who goes by the name Sunny Holston. Believe it or not, she's a lawyer, supposedly a journalist, an author, and a television host. That's according to her biography. Asuncion Cummings, that was her name at birth, now known as Sunny Holston. Can you believe that she has a college degree and a law degree? Let me say that again. She has a degree from a college. She has a Bachelor of Arts in English and Rhetoric from Binghamton University and a Juris Doctor from Notre Dame Law School. How far have some of these great institutions fallen? She began her career as a law clerk in Maryland, ended up as a trial attorney in the U.S. Department of Justice Antitrust Division, and she left that to become a federal prosecutor, specializing in child sex crimes. And now her party, I think, her Democrat Party, pretty much promotes sex crimes. She was awarded a Special Achievement Award for her successful prosecutions. Also a Managing Director of the Business Intelligence and Investigations at Kroll, the world's leading risk consulting company. And then she began her television career as a commentator on Court TV and started using the stage name Sonny Holston after host Nancy Grace was unable to pronounce Ascension and asked if she had a nickname she could use instead. Holston was offered spots on Fox News, on the O'Reilly Factor, and other places. So here's somebody you would think, having a college degree and being a lawyer, somewhere along the way in elementary school and basic high school science like you got in the 7th and 8th and 9th grade, you know, junior high, middle school, she gets on the airwaves this week. And she now understands, she's figured it out, why this world is having so many weird events. And can you guess what she really believes are causing all of these unusual events, at least unusual in her mind?
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like 100 years.
No,
this is what I read.
Two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad.
But no. For the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know better.
I would say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
That's more
or
the
something
point.
Is really
or going is returning. Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground.
No, it happens.
And the
eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because eclipses happen.
Now, you know you're an intellectual buffoon. Regardless of your college degrees, regardless of your doctorate in law, you know you're a buffoon when people like Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar have to correct your accuracy. I mean, where did you ever come up with the idea that an eclipse, and you read this somewhere, was caused by climate change? When did you learn the reappearance of the cicada, something that happens on a very predictable schedule, had something to do with climate change? I mean, The View is a program that started out many, many years ago with a good idea with Barbara Walters. I may not have agreed with her on a lot of stuff, but it's had its share of some pretty decent people and some pretty screwy people. I mean, you had Elizabeth Hasselbeck at one time, but then you had Rosie O'Donnell. Now you got Whoopi Goldberg. And essentially in the past, and I mean years gone by, there was some balance to the program. There really was. But all that is gone now. Every bit of it is gone. The closest thing they ever got to a conservative is Meghan McCain. Give me a break. In recent years, the program is an intellectual wasteland. And by looking and listening, and when you hear a comment like that, that the cicadas, the earthquakes, and an eclipse is all caused by climate change, then you know we've entered the realm of buffoonery to the max. How do people become so delusional and deceived? I'm having a hard time believing that somebody could, raised in the era that she was raised in, Sonny Halston or Ascension Halston, how can somebody that born in 1968 and in college in 1988, how could you have gone through high school and college and not known that eclipses are a naturally occurring event that are predictable to the minute? To the minute. We know exactly when. Look, there's going to be an eclipse that's going to go across my home in Florida in 2045 when I'm 90 some odd years of age. If we're alive and happen to be in Florida, we'll be able to see a complete full eclipse. We know exactly where they are. By the way, they're not that rare of an event. I mentioned that the other day. They're not rare at all. About every 18 months, there is a total solar eclipse somewhere on the planet. Now, I know some of them occur on the ocean, so we don't get a chance to go see them unless you're on a cruise. But truthfully, they're not as uncommon as people are trying to lead you to believe. And no, they're not caused by climate change. Neither are these cicadas. And we're having kind of a unique thing because there are two different types and they have different seasons over the years coming out of the ground. One is every 17 years. Another one is like every, I'm thinking off the top of my head, 14 or something like that. And it's rare when the two coincide in the same year. So we call that the cicada apocalypse, just because it's going to be, they're coming out of the ground, they're going to be noisy and mating, and then they'll be gone again. Totally natural and nothing to do with climate change. Yet this whole term climate change is pushed on us day in and day out from everywhere. It is the greatest existential threat, according to every Democrat politician I know, and about a third of the Republican rhino, false, phony, and fake conservatives. They go with this silly nonsense as well. Climate change. Yeah, because global warming that you told us about in the 90s is not working out as you predicted. That's why you call it climate change. It doesn't take a brain surgeon or rocket scientist to figure this out. The hundreds of failed and phony and fraudulent predictions that never come true are always conveniently forgotten, but it's still climate change. And we have been indoctrinating young children now for upwards of 30 years or more. And so we have a group of people under the age of 45 that have been conditioned to believe one of the greatest frauds ever perpetrated. You have colleges and universities taking millions upon billions of dollars of taxpayer money to give the results that are desired. You have government agencies that are told this is what you talk about if you want to keep the funds coming. And where are the truth tellers? Well, we're shoved off in a corner and called conspiracy theorists, fake news, and disinformation. That's been kind of the story about this radio program from the beginning. I don't have the big audience that The View does. I don't even have the big audience that many conservative podcast and radio programs do, and probably because I value my integrity. I'm not bragging on this. Don't get me wrong. I won't jump into all these sensational headlines that everybody says I need to jump on board with. Too many of the popular big stars, so to speak, in that world have lied to you and they just never apologize for being wrong. They just move on to the next new crisis du jour to scare you into sending them money or buying their prep food or generators or whatever they got or their book or DVD. On prophecy. And amazingly, how many of their prophecies or prophets have been wrong over 20, 30, or 50 years. Many. I think to myself, there are days that I wake up and wonder, why am I doing this radio program? Am I wasting my time? I mean, am I really doing anything important in this radio program? Some days, it'll go several days, maybe up to a week. I hear nothing from anybody. No support, no encouragement, no emails, nothing. And I wonder, has this program run its course? And then I have to think to myself. I do this like a watchman on the wall. There are times that I feel like, well, I kind of understand John the Baptist as he started his earthly ministry. Being a loner. Being a voice crying in the wilderness. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I saw something else, and I want to share this thought with you. I saw something that somebody had written that I found rather profound. And I'm holding this dear to my heart. It says, when ministry becomes performance, then the sanctuary becomes a theater. When the congregation becomes an audience, worship becomes entertainment. And when that happens, man's applause and approval become the only measure of success. You want to know something? That is the problem with much of the church in the Western world today. The church now is divided into a couple of camps. One is the, what I call, apostate camp. Those are the mainline church denominations of old that once held to the Bible, once held to standards, and now have rejected them, thrown them away, reinvented, and voted what they want to believe. They are no longer churches. They're apostate, demonically controlled organizations, period. There's no discussion on that. There's none. When you have somebody wearing a rainbow stole doing a wedding for two men, that is not a church. That is an apostate organization that spits in the face of Christ. And too many churches today, in an effort not to lose people, they're getting into all kinds of entertainment venue stuff. Let's be honest. A lot of them spend a lot of money to look more like a concert, not a church. But I saw something else that I found surprisingly encouraging. Now, let me define the terms here so we don't get it misunderstood. There are a lot of denominational churches out there, old line denominations that have abandoned the faith once delivered to the saints. We know that, you know it, and you can figure it out. If you got gay weddings going on in that church, and even worse, then that's not a church. But there are a handful, and they're not many, but there are some very traditional churches that really put an emphasis on teaching and preaching the Word of God and not being an entertainment venue, that are beginning to see some growth. Not massive, not huge, but they're beginning to see some growth. And where's it coming from? It's coming from people that are fleeing some of this megachurch Christianity. And they're coming because they want something more than a rock concert, big screen. And many are also fleeing the apostate mainline denominations. And those denominations are, you know, they're in a 3-decade statistical nosedive, and committing demographic suicide. I mean, there's some church bodies that I wonder, will they exist? And I really, there are a few out there that if they died tomorrow and shut their doors, I'd be much happier because they're nothing but wolves in sheep's clothing. So we're beginning to see people that are saying there's got to be something more than just entertainment. And these people leaving some of these mega churches, they're highly active and they're motivated. They read, they think, they sing, and they serve, and they hunger for more. They're hungering for sound doctrine, which is what has been abandoned in most of the American church today. They want a, I'm going to use this word carefully, don't misunderstand it. They want a non-fundamentalist approach to the faith. And what I mean by that is they don't want to be just blindly told you must. They want to be able to look, understand, read, and embrace. They're trying to get back to what the church was at its beginning. And they're tired of the churches that are around them in their communities, these super modern woke churches, postmodern, postmodernism, or post-postmodern, whatever. If you think about it, if you are a true Bible believing, you are pre-modern in your church. Pre-modern. My faith, where I live at, in what I preach and what I share each and every week with my local congregation, and I share a lot with you on this radio program. I believe in truth. Now, there can be worship, and I thought about this a while back. I have had opportunities over the years to visit various different churches. I've even spoken in various different churches and had the opportunity to preach. And I can remember, and I'm going back about 8 years ago, a little over 8 years ago, I can remember visiting a church in the community I lived in Florida. And that church was striving for the new model of the community church, where you had the worship leaders, the singers, and you had the drums and the lights and the big screen and the smoke machine and all that goes with it. And I had agreed to go to church with somebody at their church. It never felt like church to me. I'm sorry, maybe that's your kind of church, but it was not church to me. I felt like I was, well, at a concert in the 70s or something, with my favorite band. All I needed, the only thing missing at that church, I didn't have a lighter in my pocket, so when they got to a certain song, we could all flick our lighters and light up the church. It was entertainment. It was a concert. And everything about that particular worship service was structured around making people feel good about themselves, happy to be here today, entertainment. Entertainment, complete with that little pep talk with a side of Jesus, and then great coffee and the bookstore experience and all of it. And something felt wrong about it to me. Maybe it feels right to you, but it doesn't feel right to me. I never understood. Look, worship is not about me. It's not about you, not about your feelings and what you want to feel today. If you've ever made the statement, I went to church and I just didn't get anything out of it, well, that's your problem because you put nothing into it. You went expecting to be entertained and filled and made to feel good. We are there to worship and give praise and honor and glory unto God. We're not at a concert. It's not about us. We live in a world full of lies. We live in a world, well, full of aspirations to control everything you and I are allowed to do and think. And if your church is nothing but an entertainment retreat, you're not being prepared for things that are coming down the road. I will spend more time tomorrow and Friday discussing this. And I really believed we can talk about the news stories, but I need to share with you as a watchman on the wall. I need to warn you. You're not prepared the way you should be. And preparing is not buying prepper food and generators and property in Costa Rica. Preparation is something we do in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And too many Christians are putting their hope in elections. I have to wonder if this election in the United States goes the same way as the one in 2020 and cheating occurs again, which I really believe it did. And you can argue with me all day long. I don't care. It's over. It'll be a one-party rule, and we will become nothing more than goods and chattel of the globalist, which means we're coming to that day of reckoning, the second coming of Jesus Christ. I really believe that. Now, we might get a reprieve. Hard to say. But regardless of the elections in this world, you and I have got to be ready to meet the real king. And I'm afraid too many that claim the name of Christ are not prepared. Now, as we go to our break, I want to share with you a couple of important thoughts. This radio ministry now has been around for 3.5 years, a little over now. Come August, we will celebrate our 4th anniversary and complete 4 years of broadcasting. When we started this, I didn't know if we'd be here on the air for 2 months, 3 months, maybe to the end of 2020. I really thought when God laid this on my heart, it was going to be originally just a little once or twice a week, 15, 20 minute little video podcast called Truth to Ponder. And I was going to talk about the things that I had seen in emergency management, the things that were not being, well, where they were not being truthful about the pandemic, face masking and all the stuff that went with it, my concerns about the 2020 election. And I figured that, well, when the pandemic came to an end and we got past the election and hopefully things settled down, there'd be no need for the daily radio program. And I'd go back to doing just a weekend show and worrying about church work. Well, as you all know, that never happened. A lot of things began to happen, and we've talked about them along the way. We started this radio program on shortwave. I want to continue to remain on shortwave. I believe it's a viable way to reach people that I cannot reach as a podcast. But I need your support more now than ever. It looks like if the giving can remain consistent, we can remain on WTWW. But more of you need to help. I would love a large gift to help. But I'm counting on you. I know times are tough. Visit our website, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, 24319, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Dwell on and dwell in the principle. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a very special free gift to you in a moment. I know a lot of people in the Lord who dwell on the evil of other people, or the evil of the world, the evil of cults, the evil of the occult, the evil of various religions, the evil of other people. Now there's a place for that. We need to be aware of that. But there's no place for dwelling on it or letting our hearts dwell on it. You see, most of the people I know who are into dwelling on the bad are not very joyful, or dwelling on the bad of other people. Not very much peace. Why? Because what you dwell on, you're going to end up dwelling in. That's the dwell on and dwell in principle. which is what you dwell on, you're going to end up dwelling in. If you dwell on the wrong in other people, you're going to dwell in it. You dwell on sin in other people, you're going to dwell in it. You dwell on the impurity, you're going to dwell in impurity, in judging and condemning. You're looking for evil, you're going to be in sin. The Pharisees dwelt on the sins of others, and by doing so, they fell into sin. And the sin of pride and judgment. So that's the thing. So ask yourself, what do you want to dwell in? Well, you want to dwell in heaven. So what do you want to dwell on? Then if you want to dwell in heaven or heavenly life, start dwelling on heaven. Dwell on what's good and pure and beautiful. That's what the Bible says. Dwell on God. Dwell on heaven. Look for God in all things. Blessed are the pure in heart. They'll see God. Dwell on God and you'll dwell in God. Dwell on peace and you'll dwell in peace. Dwell on blessing. You'll dwell in blessing. Dwell on love. You'll dwell in love. Dwell on heaven and you will dwell in heaven. Because what you dwell on, ultimately, in the end, when all is said and done, you will end up dwelling in. Want more? Ask for A Laughing Matter on CD. Now, the free gift for you. What if you discover the place of the Lost Ark of the Covenant? Well, this is even more awesome. The Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You're going to love it. It's our free gift to you, too. And daily spiritual vitamin sapphires to revitalize your walk in God. How do you get these gifts free? Easy. Just remember Jesus' real Hebrew name, Yeshua, and you call it. You write it down and you dial it. So to receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. You will be blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, the Jewish people brought you the blessings of salvation. I invite you to bring it back to them. God promises, I will bless those who bless the Jewish people and reach the unreached all around the world, the farthest way you can ever spread the gospel on shortwave radio. It's amazing. Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's Yeshua, YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey. The zip is 07644. That's the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend and Messiah, Tikvatenu, our hope.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you back to part two of Truth to Ponder for this Wednesday. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. We've talked about something a number of times on this radio program, how evil works compared to good, and what we can learn from evil that we need to understand. Look, too many people that are Christians are looking for instant gratification, a quick fix to whatever the problems are in the world. And they're barely tolerant to wait for an election, let alone a decade or more. Where evil doesn't care if it takes a year, a decade, a quarter century, a half century, a century, a millennia. Bit by bit, piece by piece, evil works toward a goal. And many people along the way become delusional and deceived under their own damnation, as the Bible says. And they do their little part for the season that they are here. And too many Christians fail to engage. And the reason being, they don't see an immediate result. So they give up too easy. We live in this instant generation of microwaves, the convenience of instant information on a cell phone, multiple TV stations via cable, satellite, or streaming, even over the air. We become a very lazy and spoiled generation. I mean, 50 years ago, when I got paid on a Friday or Thursday, whatever the day was, you know, it was a big deal. You went to the bank to make a deposit. Today, we don't even have to go to the bank. It's just electronically put into our account. We've become so used to having things so quickly that we're not ready to deal with when things become an inconvenience. Yet evil has been preparing for this day, this season, for years. The educational system of this country was not co-opted in 1 year. It took 100 years or more to get a hold of it and grab it and own it. The same with political parties. It took time. It wasn't instant. And yet too many Christians are looking for the quick fix. And that's why too many put their hopes into merely an election. Hey, we just get the right guy and it's all going to be great. We're going to sing Happy Days Are Here Again. And the world would just be wonderful. It won't. I'm telling you, it won't. I've asked Jim Calhoun to kind of help me out a little bit today and to share a few thoughts that he has regarding this concept of I want it now and understanding the difference between the short game and the long game. Here's Jim Calhoun.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be back on Truth to Ponder. Today I'm going to be talking about just basic survival. I know that's something that a lot of people are getting sick of hearing about, because everywhere you look, there's a survival channel or a prepper channel, as far as the YouTube and the BitChutes, and all over Facebook and everywhere else, there's survival this and survival that. Well, there's a reason. The people who are awake and see the need for helping others to survive are just doing our best to help you survive. And even if you're sick of hearing about survival, I want you to at least listen to this episode. I'm going to give you some different ideas. I know that most people are saying buy my product, and neither me or Bob have anything to sell, so it has nothing to do with us selling products. It has everything to do with us wanting to be a help and to make sure that you and your family get through this chaos as unscathed as possible. Well, since spring is upon us, garden time is here, and I know at the Deep South, garden time has already started. But I want to start off by commenting on gardening. It seems that there's seeds everywhere, and that's a good thing. But I think you need to choose the seeds that are heirloom variety, the type that you can save your own seeds. As far as the long run is concerned, in my opinion, it's best for us to think not only 1 year at a time, but think years in advance. The powers that be that are trying to corrupt and ruin the world as we know it, well, they're always doing things years in advance. They're always trying to do their best to have a plan that I would say they're playing the long game really well. Whereas we, the people, we tend to play the short game. We just do whatever is expedient at the time and then deal with things as they come. I think that way of thinking needs to be altered. We need to start thinking long term, and doing gardening is the best place to start. Getting heirloom, open pollinated seeds, and learning how to save your own seeds for planting them in future years is a huge step to becoming truly self-sufficient. And while it's easy to buy the packages of seed there at your hardware store or grocery store, it would be best for you to seek out heirloom seeds, seeds that you can replant. And if you don't know a source for that, just do a search on the internet for open pollinated or heirloom seeds, and you'll find many sites that do sell these seeds. Another great source would be to go to your local farmer's market, the people that manage that, and find out which sellers at your local farmer's market are selling heirloom variety plants, heirloom variety produce, and maybe you can possibly get some seeds from that source. But it's a good idea to plant your entire garden with heirloom seeds. And while you're at it, research which plants do well and help each other grow. There are certain plants that should be planted next to other kind of plants to help in the overall health of your garden. And of course, there are plants that you should never plant next to each other that will actually hinder each other's growth. And so you need to use common sense, and you need to use the most natural seeds that you can find. I would recommend that you stay away from all the GMO seeds. and don't plant any of those, because who knows how they've been altered and what they're going to do to you as far as your internal organs and your overall health. And even if you live inside a city where you don't think you can garden, you can still garden somewhat in a limited basis, but you can still garden with 5-gallon buckets and discarded tires. I know that isn't the prettiest sight to see as a discarded tire, but there are many people that have grown successful crops of potatoes inside of discarded tires. And so where there is a will, there is a way. I highly recommend that you get into gardening as much as you can this year. I've said that the last several years, and I've got to be honest, I have not been able to take care of my garden because I'm just so busy in the hayfield that I haven't really reaped the benefits of my hard work near as much as I should have. But I'm going to try again this year because I think the handwriting is on the wall that possibly before the end of this year, we're going to see empty shelves or food rationing or both. And the amount of people that are depending on your local food bank is growing by the day due to Joe Biden's wonderful economy. So this is the year to get into gardening. And not only just gardening for your health and for your pleasure. I think serious gardening. I think you need to grow more than you normally would grow. And if you're not feeling up to a garden, maybe it's time that you talk to a younger family member or possibly a neighbor. Try to work out a co-op type of an arrangement where you share the produce. If you need to have younger hands and younger knees out in your garden, it would be a good thing to try to enlist that help. Not only are you helping yourself, you're also helping train the future generations of how to survive. That's one thing I think we've dropped the ball since we've had everything at our fingertips. I've heard it said that we live in a microwave society where everything is instant. And that attitude is going to be changed really fast when everything we do has to be done by the sweat of our brow. And I, for one, am prepared to have everything happen by the sweat of my brow. It's not as fun as having it instant and having it easy. But I think our easy days are over for a while. And so it's best to at least try to get a group of people or a person to help you if you don't feel well enough to do a garden. I know I have several friends that have told me they're not gardening this year just for the fact their knees hurt, and I understand that because my knees hurt too, and sometimes getting up off the ground is quite a chore. I hate to admit that, but I'm there. And so what we need to do is use our head. And if we can work smart, then our hard work is going to pay off. But working smart, I think, is the key here. As well as gardening, I think you need to learn how to can and how to preserve food. And there's so many ways to do that. And I wouldn't just rely on one method. You can use lard to preserve. You can use salt to preserve. You can freeze dry. You can freeze. You can dehydrate, you can can, you can vacuum seal. There's so many ways to preserve food, and I think you need to become an expert at all of them. And I would highly recommend that if you're going to garden this year, try to find a good freeze dryer so you can freeze dry some of your food. Who knows if our electricity is going to go down, and who knows how much space we're going to have to store different jars, or how much jars are going to cost and canning supplies. And so if you can get a freeze dryer to where you can freeze dry your own food, and if you can afford it, also get a vacuum sealer and a dehydrator. If you can get those items, then you're going to be pretty well set. And as long as I'm talking about food and gardening, I have to mention something I mention quite often. And that's foraging. I've already started foraging this year, even though right now it's, as I record this, it's 25 degrees and there's ice on the ground. It has been warm enough that some of the plants have already started to emerge. And I think this is the year to really learn how to forage and how to preserve everything that you do forage. I'm just going to give you this in a nutshell. All you have to do is find out what the native peoples of your area traditionally ate for thousands of years, because God provided for the people He created, and the food that He provided these people is still there, still growing. We just simply call them weeds now. But if you learn the names of the plants and learn their nutritional value, you'd no longer look at them as weeds. You'd look at them as a grocery store at your feet. And I think we really need to get into foraging. You're going to feel better. The food's going to taste better. It's going to be better for you. And it's not going to be contaminated by GMO or any chemicals. Just make sure that you know that when you're foraging, that you know what you're doing, and don't eat any plants that you don't know what they are. And even if it is an edible plant, the first several times you eat it, don't eat very much of it to see if you're going to have a reaction. It's best not to eat anything you're unsure of. But I think this is the year we need to really become foragers. A side benefit of that is healthy exercise, getting fresh air out in the sun. Of course, we have the problems with chemtrails and what toxins they're putting in the air, but other than that, it's good to get out in the sun and get some exercise. And also, another thing we need to prepare is our water source. A lot of people take water for granted, and we can't do that. So it's best to have ways to purify water, as in water purification chemicals, and also water filtration systems. And there are ways to filter water yourself. You could make a filter with sand and charcoal. And of course, after you filter your water, whether you make the filter yourself or whether you buy one, it's a good idea, if it's water out of a stream, that you boil it, and boil it good. Make sure you kill anything that might be in it. I know when I was a kid, I was really thirsty. I was out swimming in the river, and I got really thirsty, so I decided to take a drink. And I don't know what I drank, but I was sick for a week. I think I drank some sort of a parasite. Really did a number on me. So water is something you can't take for granted that it's going to be safe. So you have to do what it takes to make your water safe. I think it's a good idea to sterilize some 5-gallon containers and store as many of those as you can, and use those for cooking and drinking. And then you can store some other, what I call utility water, to flush toilets and wash clothes and dishes and so forth. You can have another supply of that. You don't have to be quite so careful with. But I'd still take care, because you don't want to have any bacteria or any protozoans or anything growing in your water. You certainly don't want to have any algae or moss in your water. And you might be wondering why I'm talking about this. Well, I think things are going to get bad enough that there's a possibility we're all going to have to be thinking like this. So I want to help you get your head around with the possibility that you may have to go this deep as far as prepping and ensuring your own survival. Now, I'm not a financial advisor, so I'm not going to advise you what to do with your money. But in my opinion, I think that we need to save money as much as possible. We need to buy what needs to be bought before inflation takes the value of your dollar totally away. But I think you also need to save as many dollars as you can. And so, if you don't need it, don't buy it. If you think you're going to need it, if you can afford it, go ahead and buy it and have it on hand. But frivolous spending, such as a soft drink or an ice cream cone, unless it's something that you feel that you really need to lift your spirits, it's best not to do any impulse buying whatsoever. I feel that you're going to need every penny to be able to navigate through this chaos. I think you're going to need to have your health in great shape. I think you're going to have your spiritual life in great shape, and also your financial life. And I think that the value of our dollar is going to go away. There's too many forces right now that are trying to destroy our dollar. And unfortunately, the lack of leadership we have in Washington is contributing to the destruction of our dollar. And it's just a matter of time before the BRICS nations are able to do what they're trying to do, and they're trying to sink the U.S. dollar. And it's just a matter of time before they get the job done. As far as having any momentum in the world, as far as a currency, the United States dollar is still king. There's no doubt about that. But it's about to be dethroned. There's no doubt about that either. But there's going to be a window of time when your money is still going to have value. Even if the ATMs are shut down and the banks are shut down, you're still going to be able to trade with other citizens using the dollar for, I don't know for how long, but for at least a period of time. But if you think the collapse of the dollar is imminent, it's best to turn that into an asset. That's just my opinion. And I know a lot of people that buy certain things that they can barter, and they think that's a better place to put their money. I'm not going to suggest that, but you at least need to know that's a possibility. And I'm going to use an example of something that I don't think anyone should do, and that's smoke, but a lot of people do. And there are people that are investing in cigarettes as a barter item. Now, I'm not going to suggest you do that, but that's just a for instance of something that people think has a value that they're going to be able to barter. But in my opinion, you don't want to buy things that you won't use, because if you're stuck with something, well, you've lost your money. And if you don't use that product, then you've really lost your money. And so you have to really take care of what you do. But I wouldn't invest in anything unless you think the dollar is on the verge of collapse. I don't know how long we have with the dollar. We might have months, we might have years. One of the earmarks of this chaos is the fact that nobody really knows what's going on. A perfect example is when this Francis Scott Key Bridge was ran into by the ship here recently. Well, it seems that one of the captains of the ship, and possibly the one that was at the helm, I'm not sure about this, but I know that one of the captains happens to be a Ukrainian. And also, after viewing the video, it was obvious to me that that ship had to make a hard turn to hit the pylon, so I think it was very much on purpose. Now, was that someone from Ukraine that was mad at the United States for not funding the war enough? Or possibly was it a Ukrainian that is so sick of the war that they're trying to do what they can to get back at the country that they feel is behind starting the war in the first place? I definitely think that was an act of sabotage. But you don't know what's going to happen in this chaotic world. That's the point I'm trying to make. So you're going to have to keep everything really fluid, as far as you're going to have to be able to navigate as quick as you can in the right direction, of course. And you can't go in the right direction unless you really think things through. So I'm going to recommend you come up with three distinct plans of action. Each plan needs to be independent of the other. It might take you a week or two per plan, but you need to plan for everything, for your power going away, for your freezer not working, for your water being off, your cell phone not working. Plan for the absolute worst and look at every situation you think you're going to find yourself in and decide your course of action. And of course, you should either record this or write it down, and so you can go back and revisit what your thoughts were. Then, after a few days, come up with a completely different plan, using the same disaster and chaos that may hit your family, but come up with an entirely different set of plans and different protocols of what you're going to do. Then, after several days, come up with a third plan. I know this is not going to be easy, but surviving is never easy. And I can assure you that none of your plans are going to work. As soon as the situation changes, your plans have to be flexible enough to change with the situation. Unfortunately, there are things that are unseen that are likely going to be presented to us that our plans just don't have any way to handle. Well, that's where you might have to go to Plan B. And you might have to ride Plan B for a while. And if that happens to not work, you might have to go to Plan C. But what I really ultimately feel is that you're going to end up with the best of each plan. I think that Plan A will work to a point and still continue to work. I think Plan B will do the same. It'll work up to a point. And Plan C, again, I think will be the same. And so these plans have to be flexible enough that they can be changed, and also flexible enough that they can be incorporated into each other. And in that way, you're going to navigate through this much better than if you had no plan at all. And so, in closing this segment, I just want to tell everyone that I really think that you need to think things through. I think you need to pray for wisdom and peace. I think you need to bond very strongly with Almighty God and rely on Him for His strength and wisdom. But I think you need to use your head and think long term. I think everything you do has to be done with the long game in mind. That will give you a much greater chance of survival. Well, I hope that I've helped someone here on this segment today. And I want to thank Bob Bierman for allowing me to speak to his great audience. And until my next segment, everyone stay safe, use your head, stay in prayer, and always remember, replace fear with faith. Now back to Bob.
Well, Jim, thank you, and thank you for helping me out today. And I hope you, my audience, appreciates that the efforts that Jim has been putting in to allow me to do some of the things that I need to be doing in the background right now. Number one, taking good care of my health. Number two, trying to maintain my church. And number three, planning on building the radio station that we have been granted authorization to build here in our community in Southwest Virginia. And if it wasn't for Jim, I couldn't get everything done. And so my thanks to Jim Calhoun for putting together these segments to give me just a little extra time. This radio program is here because of you. Only because of you. We have no sponsors. We do not have any goods or services for sale. There are no foods or vitamins or anything else that we're promoting. We are just giving you news and information, and I have nobody but you to be held accountable for everything that we say and do here in this program. We've been here because of your faithfulness since 2020, and I would like to make it to the fourth anniversary with even more airtime and more people hearing this program as it continues to grow into what I believe is going to be a vital time in the Western world and, you know, here in North America in particular. But I need your support. If you would consider supporting us today, would you go to our website, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510, Chilhowie, 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 Virginia, and the zip code is 24319. P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.